Thanksgiving is not just a holiday, of course. And it's not just something we, you know, do on occasion, but it's a lifestyle. It's one of those things, sometimes I think that seems like gravy to the Christian life, but it's actually the turkey, right? We think it's, oh, it's nice if I remember to give thanks, but it's actually core, central, and vital to our walk with Jesus, to learn how to be thankful. In Matthew 16, verse 19, this is, we actually talked about this passage a couple weeks ago. We won't talk about the whole background, but it's that moment when Jesus is with his disciples at Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them, who do people say I am? And they've got all the wrong answers. And then, well, who do you say I am? And Peter pipes up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, the Father has revealed this to you, right? And then Jesus says, I'll build my church, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Then he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. What Jesus was saying is that there's a way to align our lives with the purposes of heaven, with what heaven has already declared over our situation. And when we align ourselves with heaven, then there is spiritual authority that comes to deal with the situation. Right? There are keys to functioning in the kingdom of heaven. Keys represent authority. When you trust the keys of your car to your kids, you're lending them authority. When your boss trusts you with the master key, you're being trusted with authority. You ever lost your car key? Anybody ever lose your car key? Right? Anybody on a regular basis? We just actually, literally 3 days before we moved to Bathurst 7 years ago, 3 days before we moved, there was a festival in our town that I was involved in, on the committee helping to lead, and you know, I was involved in it, and one of my children, I'm not going to say names, but one of them, who's not the oldest or the youngest, we had this Mitsubishi, and when we bought it, there was only one key. You know that's trouble, right? It was only one key. And we were really careful. We'd had the car for about 6 months. It was a used car. That's why there was only one key. And we'd had it for about 6 months. And we'd been really careful to not lose that key. And then there was this festival. And my daughter had, used the car, and then, you know, at the end of the night of, you know, the last night of the festival, she used the car, and then she didn't have the key. And so we, with flashlights, were out scouring the, the, the fairgrounds and like just searching everywhere trying to find this key. We got to leave the province and move to the other side of the country in 3 days. We're panicking, right? We're praying, God, find our key. Where's our key? And couldn't find it. And the next day, when the company, the ride company, moved the rides, somebody had stolen the key, tried to find the car, and then thrown the key under one of the rides. And we found, somebody showed up, knocked on our door, here's your key. Because everybody knew that we were looking for our car key. It's not great to lose your car key. And some of us are trying to do ministry in the kingdom of heaven, and we don't have our keys. We're trying to do things that God has called us to do, and we either have never known there were keys, or we haven't done what was needed to access those keys, and we're trying to do kingdom ministry without our keys. One of the most important keys I would suggest to you today is thanksgiving. It's more than just a matter of manners, folks. But it's a core kingdom principle. It's one of those things that sometimes when we're reading the scriptures, we just cruise right past it. Oh yeah, thanksgiving, yeah, and we move on. And we need to not move on, because God's trying to tell us something when he's talking about thanksgiving. Sorry. I was not paying attention to myself. Thanksgiving is key to God's presence. Psalm 100, verse 4, says this. We are to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And his courts, I think it's, yeah, here it is. There we go. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Enter his gates. So, Remember that second section there. So give thanks, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But first of all, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is like the security pass card. Or the security passcode to enter into the presence of God. We can't even actually access the presence of God without a thankful heart. We can babble all the words we want, but if we don't come with a thankful heart, we're standing outside the door. So it's a building block upon which all other worship, all worship starts with thanksgiving, right? Come into his gates with thanksgiving, and then we enter his courts with praise. So it's thanksgiving is the posture of the creature before their creator. Recognizing that everything that we are and everything that we have flows from our Creator. It's the
the posture of the creature before their creator. It's been said that one of the greatest troubles for an atheist is that when they are truly grateful, they have no one to thank. When you stand, as we often do, in Pabono Falls and see the beauty there, or at Niagara Falls, or see the night sky, and you realize the majesty of creation, a sense of gratitude rises up in you, and we need to thank our Creator. When we sit today or tomorrow or whenever we have turkey or whatever we or ham or pizza, whatever it is you have, your Thanksgiving meal, and realize that at that same moment, someone on this planet is scrounging for bits of rice and garbage to eat. And gratitude fills our soul for God's goodness in our lives. Thanks is the beginning place of worship. We begin to worship God for the good things that He has done for us. We praise Him for the good things that He is doing in our lives and in our world. The amazing provider and orderer of our world that He is. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love, His mercy, depending on the translation you're reading, His loving kindness endures forever. It's actually the translators of the King James Version, they were translating this Hebrew word, chesed, which is variously translated love, mercy, etc. They were translating this word from Hebrew. And you know how sometimes you just can't find a word in the language to really grasp the word you're trying to translate, right? And they couldn't find a word to translate chesed. And so they made one up. They put two words together, loving kindness. That word didn't exist before the translation of the King James Version. But they're trying to grasp this idea. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness endures forever. You know that phrase is the most repeated worship lyric in all of the Bible. If you do a study on it, you'll find that it is the most often repeated worship lyric. It is there over and over. Again, there's stuff we just kind of cruise over sometimes when we're reading, but it's there over and over, and particularly in the Old Testament. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures, His loving kindness endures forever. And in fact, this worship lyric, in two times, as the temple that Solomon had built, as they're dedicating the temple, if I can find this quickly here, as they're dedicating the temple, two times, the worship team sings out these words, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His loving kindness endures forever. And as they sing those words, the glory of God falls upon the temple in such power that in one of the situations that the priests are knocked to the ground and they can't even stand up of the heaviness of the glory of God as these words are declared. So 2 Chronicles 5:14, It says they raise their voice, giving thanks, singing, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, the cloud of his glory, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. And then two chapters later, in chapter 7, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 3, again it says, they worshiped the Lord and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the king says that they sacrificed, and then the glory came. So that thanks was a key to unlock the power and the glory of God in their worship. But folks, God doesn't just want us to access his presence, his power, his glory on Sunday morning at 10:30. But as we walk through this world and face the things that we face day in and day out, he desires that we would know the nearness of his presence. And folks, as we lift up a word of thanks to him, whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we're dealing with, as we lift up a word of thanks to him, we something shifts, something changes. I wanna, Suzanne, it's time. So, Suzanne, you've been dealing with issues with your eyes and your vision for quite some time, yes. And I know that you've been believing for a miracle, been believing for an answer to prayer that your sight would be restored. And sometimes as we're waiting on what God is going to do, it can be really challenging. I think, would I be wrong in saying that you've had to learn again to give thanks in the circumstances in spite of the fact that the breakthrough hasn't come yet?
Yeah? Yes.
Now, you want to tell us what happened this week?
I went to see at the eye clinic Wednesday, and Dr. Dees was looking at my chart and studying my chart and looking over, and he said, something happened in your right eye. There was something that disturbed me in your right eye since the beginning. And he said, it's gone, it's completely gone, whatever it was. And he said, now I can operate on the cataracts. And while you're under, he said, I'm going to make a little hole in your eye for the pressure. So the pressure won't bother you no more. And after that, you can go get a pair of glasses. So it was
Amen.
All good news.
Amen.
And I give thanks to God. I'm so grateful. So, so grateful.
Amen.
And thank you for all your prayers. I appreciate your prayers. And keep on praying until it's completely.
Amen.
To the fullest.
Amen.
Because what God started, he will finish.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Suzanne. And whatever that was, I mean, we've been praying for a miracle, and there you go, right? Whatever it was is gone. And now the doctor's able to do something. So but Suzanne, it's been interesting to watch her on this journey over the last, it's been a couple years you've been working with this, right? Yeah, and walking through, I hope I don't, I think you're good with this. You know, walking through seasons of disappointment and frustration and, God, what's going on? Is that fair? Yeah. But learning to thank him. And I've watched you do that. I've watched you learning to, okay, God, I'm going to choose to thank you in the midst of my circumstances. And God has given you strength. He's given you joy when you know, despair wanted to swallow you. And God has moved in and given you strength and joy. And patience to wait for the miracle that he's working out in your life. Amen? Good, good. Thank you for sharing that. So Thanksgiving is God's will for you. I one of the most common prayers that as I've pastored over the last 31 years, one of the most common things that people ask me to pray with them and for them is to know God's will for their lives, right? And what they usually mean by that is, do I marry this person or this person, right? Do I go to this job or this job? Do I live in this city or this city? But this is what God says to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Right? That's worth saying again. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Right? So it doesn't say give thanks in good circumstances, give thanks in some circumstances, give thanks when, you know, when the provision comes, when the answer comes. I mean, we need to do that as well. But give thanks in all circumstances. Some of you are walking through stuff, maybe even right now, where you're saying, you want me to what? Right? You want me to give thanks right now? And we're waiting for God to change. God, I'll give you all the thanks you want me to give as soon as the situation changes. I'll give you all the thanks. Right? We're frustrated, maybe, that God seems to be holding out on us, and we're waiting for that breakthrough, and then I will give thanks. And yet God is giving you the key for your breakthrough, in telling you to give thanks in the circumstances. So we're waiting for the breakthrough, but we're not grabbing the key. He's dangling right in front of us. Give thanks in all circumstances. It's the key to breakthrough, folks. If we don't learn grade one in God's will, we will never be ready for high school. If we don't learn how to do what he's already told us is his will, how will he ever trust us with the other things that we're waiting to hear from him? Right? So I want to challenge all of us. I mean, I leave this stuff too. Right? I get stuff coming at me and coming into my life where I've got to learn again to grab that key of thanksgiving, that thankfulness, and use it again. But it's the key to our breakthrough. It's the key to living victoriously, is not waiting for the victory to manifest, but grabbing the key of thanksgiving and activating it before the breakthrough is manifest. Does that make sense? Well, it doesn't make sense, but it's the way God works. So at least it doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it does to you. But it's God's upside down kingdom. It's how he works. It's called faith, right? Trusting that he knows what he's doing and saying, thanks, God, that you're in this with me and you've got this, even when I don't yet see the answer. Thanks. Paul gives us an interesting picture. In Philippians 2:14, he says, you're going to need to get ready to give me an ouch right now. Do everything without grumbling or complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure. Do everything without grumbling or complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure. Grumbling and complaining is like the opposite of thanksgiving, isn't it? That's the devil's keys. You'll unlock some stuff you don't want to unlock if you walk around grumbling and complaining. Right? But then it says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Isn't that interesting? So if we approach life with a thankful attitude, not grumbling and complaining, but thankful, we are going to stand out in this world. I'm going to read the whole verse again. Do everything without grumbling or complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Isn't that an amazing picture? We would stand out in the darkness of this world, the darkness of the negativity and the entitlement and the just the darkness of this world. That when we live thankfully, we shine like stars in contrast to the darkness of this world. Wow. So here are some things that battle against thankfulness in our lives. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but just rifle through these. Entitlement, an attitude of entitlement. I deserve. Right? This is in our culture, but this is in the church. Right? The attitude of entitlement. Grumbling or complaining. Envy, jealousy. Why do they drive that kind of car and I just drive this, right? Why do they have a nice cottage on the ocean and I got a tent in my backyard, right? Unforgiveness will block Thanksgiving in our lives. Because it feeds that I am owed mentality, right? Fear and anxiety. What if? What if God doesn't come through? What if he's not enough? What if he doesn't provide? What if? What if? And here are some things that flow from thankfulness. Humility. When we know that everything I am and everything I have comes from my amazing Creator. I'm nothing, He's everything, right? I'm thankful to Him. Contentment. Being thankful for what I have instead of whining about what I want or don't yet have. Honor. Being thankful for the people around us and being able to honor one another, right? Generosity. When we understand that it all comes from Him and He can take it all away in a second, right? We live open-handedly. We don't grasp, hoard, and clutch things, you know, as if it's mine, but we recognize that it's all His. He entrusts it to me for a season, and I can live generously when I'm thankful. And joy. Joy. When we're thankful for the people and the things and the blessings in our lives, when we're not, wow, we get pretty miserable pretty quickly, don't we? Joy. So lastly, this morning, thankfulness is a choice. Psalm 35. Verse 17 and 18. Now, Psalm 17, the verse 17 helps us understand that being thankful doesn't mean that we can't ever just honestly pour out our hearts to God. When the miracle hasn't come yet, it's not wrong or sinful or evil to pour out our hearts to God and say, God, what's going on? He's got big shoulders. He can take it, right? We often see in the Psalms when the psalmist pours out his heart to God in honesty and frustration and whatever, but he's quick to turn back to God, right? So listen to this. How long, Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their ravages. My precious life from these lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs, I will praise you. Now that sounds like whiplash, doesn't it? One sentence, he's saying, God, what's going on? You know, all this stuff is happening and you need to rescue me. I will give thanks. He's not denying the circumstances. He's not denying the feelings he's having about the circumstances and his concern, his frustration. It's, God, what's going on? But I will. That's an important word. I will make a choice of my will to give you thanks, even though the rescue hasn't been manifest yet. The miracle hasn't come yet. I will give thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs, I will praise you. So worship team, come on up and let's stand. I'll end with this. We don't get to choose. We almost never get to choose the things that happen to us. But we always get to choose our attitude and our response to them. That's worth saying again. Until I get some amens, at least. We almost never get to choose the things that happen to us. But we always get to choose our attitude and our response to them. And so we can choose misery and disappointment and anger and bitterness, or we can choose to be thankful. And each one leads us down a particular path. So we're going to respond right now. I want to pray with you, and then we're going to sing just before Bob comes to conclude the service. We're going to sing the song we sang at the beginning of the service today. Grateful, and declare our gratitude to the Lord. We're going to activate those keys. Maybe some of you came in missing keys. I hope I helped you find them today. So we're gonna sing that song in gratitude, but let me pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy, your presence, your goodness in our lives. We thank you for the ways that your kingdom works even when we don't understand it. Thank you that there are keys. That you don't leave it as an entire mystery, but you actually give us some pretty clear instruction in Scripture. Father, I would suggest today that many of us in this room need grace and strength and help today to grab hold of the key of thankfulness. It's a stretch for some of us in the midst of what we're walking through, but it's an act of faith. So God, I pray for an outpouring, an infusion of your grace, a gift of faith upon our lives, that we would be able today, no matter what's going on in our lives, to give you thanks. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Amen. What miracle are you waiting on God for? What are you expecting from your God? You know, Scripture says we keep on knocking until that door opens. Who's to say that this isn't your moment this morning? I would encourage you to come to the altar. See the knock again on that door, and maybe this is the moment. Amen. How many agree with that? Praise the Lord. Maybe it's a time you need to continue to thank the Lord. That's good, because God is preparing the way. But maybe this is your moment, like it was my moment when God healed me of that wart. Amen. We're going to open the altars. We're going to ask you if you need to go at this time. God bless you. We're going to make this entire sanctuary a prayer time, a prayer room. So if you like the fellowship, we would ask you to fellowship in the back room. But let's come this today and let's wait upon the Lord. Amen. And there's one more thing, and Pastor, you mentioned this, and it's so true. He listed a number of things. There, one of them, unforgiveness. Remember, there was a time in my life, there was something that happened, really crushed my spirit. I was unforgiving. But I want to tell you something. When God gave me the grace to forgive, it was like the heavens opened up. I had new faith. I could believe God again. Maybe there's something like that in your life today you need to release. Just let it go as an act of your will. And I will tell you, you're going to experience power. You're going to experience fresh faith. Even grumbling. We all do that at times. But maybe today you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for grumbling about something. Because sometimes we can get in that place where we're just always complaining. We need God's forgiveness. When we have that forgiveness, He will release us with fresh power, or give us fresh power and faith. We're just going to open the altar for you today. Let's come and seek the Lord. Maybe it's just to come to give thanks. Can we do that just for a few moments this morning? Let's make our way to the altar today as we wait upon the Lord. Can we do that as we continue to sing?
Thank you. all for your glory. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Come on and
and live.